Welcome to Module 3 of the PEACE System, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. I'm Lisa Rubin Young, and today we are digging into the next two steps of the system, the E and the A, examining your priorities and assessing your must-dos. Now, there's no decision-making here. We're just getting it all out, and I'll explain that as we go. These two steps go hand in hand, and you may find that they overlap. But the intention here is to first get clear on your priority tasks in your five key areas. Then get clear on all the other things on your to-do list. So today I'm teaching you how to get them out of your head and into the first draft order of importance. In our next session, we're going to get clear on what's really going to end up getting done, what's really going to end up getting put on your to-do list, and why some things just don't make the cut. And what to do about that if you're a procrastinator. I have four tools to share today to help you examine your priorities and assess your must-dos. And we're going to discuss the different types of to-dos and the hierarchy of each so that it becomes easier to distinguish duties and responsibilities so that you're not continuing to get stuck or overwhelmed or doing too much or saying yes to too much and not saying no or saying no to the wrong things. And this is where people often get stuck because they think they have to decide what's most important and what's actually going to get done during the day. You got lots of ideas in your head, all these demands from the world piling up on you. That's why we talked about the five key areas of success early on. Okay. And I'm going to be referring to those again today. I'm assuming you've already taken a few minutes to decide how you define faith, family, fitness, fortune, and freedom. But if not, we'll run with my definitions for now. But please don't skip this step because you've got to know how you define success or you won't know when you've arrived. There are people who will say success is a journey, and I disagree. Success is a destination, and you're already there. Every choice you've made up to this point has led to this moment of success. Every choice that I've made up to this point has led me to this space today, okay? To be in this room, to be sharing this information with you right now are all the choices that I've made before. You don't like where you're at right now? Make different choices so that tomorrow success will look different. But success is a destination and you are already there. So you've got to have a new destination in mind before you can move towards it. That's why we define those five key areas. That's why it's important to get clear on what does faith look like to you? What does your family look like to you? Etc. But these today are not the steps where you decide what goes on the calendar for the day. That's in our next module. Today, we're just getting things out of your head and getting you organized. So this isn't the decision step, okay? Or at least it's not the full decision step. You have to make choices here, but the final decisions about what will and won't be on the agenda for the day happen after we've gotten clarity on what's really on our to-do lists in the first place. And even if you're not a list maker per se, you've got multiple to-do lists. And this is where we bring them all out of the ether and consolidate them into one place. So maybe you've got a list of things about your business, a list of things about your blog, a list of things about your art, a list of things about your family, your kids, your social groups. Like, you've got all this stuff running around in your brain. And maybe if you're like me, you've got a list on paper, but not everybody is a list maker. So, but I know you have these lists, even if they're just running in your brain. And I'm going to encourage you to stop holding that stuff in your brain. And here's why. If you, this is an example that I used in the last time I taught this class. If you go to your silverware drawer and you just start putting silverware in your hand and you just keep filling it up, putting more and more things into your hand, eventually your hand is going to get full of stuff and something is going to fall out. Okay. Something is going to slip out. Your brain's the same way. And it doesn't slip out like it's gone forever. It slips into your subconscious. And then it becomes that much more challenging to recover it, to reclaim it. Oops, I put this down over here. So the idea here is let's get that stuff out of your head so that you've got room for other things. you know, it's said that Einstein didn't know his own phone number. And he's like, that's what the phone book is for. I think my brain's doing other more important work than trying to remember my phone number. Same idea here. So the first tool, which is the tool that I use the most often, is called brain dumping. And it pretty much is like it sounds. I was first introduced to this concept through Mark Joyner's Simpleology program, and still part of his program. Every day you begin by dumping everything out of your head. All of your to-dos, just getting it all out of your head. Don't worry about the priority. Just get it out of your head and get it documented somewhere. I like to write things down, but that may not be your jam. That may not be your preferred method. So document things in the way that works for you. I have a friend who sketches and draws, and so all of their work is sketched and drawn out, and they've got visual images that guide them to, okay, this is what I need to do today. That's fine. Do what works for you. In my own peace practice, I just dump out all the things as I'm praying. You know, dear God, this is what's going on for me today. I've got this video to complete. I need to send this email. I want to help my kid with his homework, etc. Don't worry about priority. And I'm going to keep hammering that point today. Don't worry about priority. Just get it out of your head so that it's not taking up space in there anymore. Our brains can manage 7 bits of information at a given time, plus or minus 2. Now, there are exceptions to this rule. Some people can remember very long strings of information. But in general, that's what a normal human brain can hold in your conscious mind. Everything else gets buried subconsciously. So when we get those things out of our head and onto paper or recorded in whatever manner works for you, that frees up your mind to get back to those buried items. Oh, yeah. I wanted to check the Christmas Club account and see how we're doing towards that family vacation. Write it down. Oh yeah, my aunt's coming over at 3:00. How did I forget that? Write it down. And it happens. I've forgotten people were coming over before it happens. Just document everything. Get it out of your head to free up your brain power to remember the things that you've got buried in your subconscious. That's a brain dump. Really simple. It's a great tool to clear mental space. I use it in other ways too. When I was working with a friend to co-write a Christmas musical, we just dumped out all of our ideas for possible songs and scenes and who might be in them. We put them on sticky notes. We want to do this song. 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 We just got them all out of our heads and then put them on a wall. And then we started shuffling them around so that we could develop the ideas for the show. We could rearrange them on the wall until we were happy with the order of the show flows. We've got people in each scene and they're not in every scene. Okay, this works. Okay, let's move this one over here. And that it all starts with a brain dump. So it's another way to use the tool. A brain dump just allows you to get everything out of your head and get it documented for future reference. Now, in the peace system, future reference happens in step 4. So it's not a very long time that it has to sit, but getting it out of your head for future reference. So, and then clarifying expectations, step 4, which we'll talk about in our next session, that's where you actually start to prioritize things. So what if you've got a big goal and you're not sure what the smaller action steps are that need to happen? That's where I have 2 different tools that I use that I recommend that can help: mind mapping or backward planning. They both come in very handy. They're both more organized means of focusing your effort on a particular thought or concept or goal to help you figure out the steps, to figure out what elements are involved in achieving a goal. It's the smaller steps or elements of that bigger goal that become the to-dos. You hear people say, well, take your big idea and break it down into manageable, bite-sized, doable chunks. Well, okay, but you got to kind of get clarity on what those things are, and sometimes you don't always know. So for example, write my book. It's a bit large for a single day. You need to break it up into sub-steps. Now, if you know the sub-steps, a mind map is a useful tool. If you don't know the sub-steps, or you kind of have bits and pieces but you're not sure about the rest of it, then backward planning is my go-to tool, and we're going to talk about both of those. Mind mapping is a phrase that was coined by Tony Buzan. He didn't originate the tool, he just gave it the sexy name. So essentially, you're building a web of action steps based on the sub-steps of the goal. So for example, you start in the middle. The hub is the major goal, like write my book. Then the sub-steps radiate out from there. So if you're writing a book, that's the goal. The sub-steps might be outline the chapters or write the chapters or edit the chapters or submit to the editor. So you've got this and it's radiating out these different points. But even that can be kind of big. So there are sub-steps inside those sub-steps. And you can get as granular as you need to here. You know, so inside write the chapters, now that becomes the hub of that bit of activity. You break out the individual chapters. And maybe from there, individual sections of a chapter. At some point, you will get granular enough to see the task that you can take on today. That's the thing that goes on the to-do list. And maybe today the task is mind map, write the book. That's okay too, because that stuff takes time. All right. Once you've got that, then you can go, okay, this is the step I'm going to tackle for today, and I'll get to that one tomorrow, or maybe I'll do that one instead. Okay. And you can put them on your to-do list. Now, if you're struggling with finding the steps, if you're really not clear on what's the next step you need to take, then take a cue from Stephen Covey and begin with the end in mind. I know I want to have a finished book, for example. So what's the step that comes just before that? Well, I have to proofread it so that it's ready to go. Okay, so proofread it. What happens before I have to proofread it? Well, I guess it has to go to an editor so it can be proofread, right? Okay, all right. So what happens before it has to go to the editor? Well, I guess I actually have to write the chapters. Okay, and so on and so on. And you work your way backwards. Either one of these tools, and sometimes both of them used together, are going to help you get clear on the to-dos, the tasks, the individual tasks inside bigger goals so that you can find the piece that's manageable for today and get that on your to-do list instead of sitting there overwhelmed by, I want to write a book, but or I want to clean my office, but I'm so overwhelmed. Mind map that thing. There's the bookshelf, there's the closet, there's the chest of drawers, there's the other bookshelf, there's the desk, there's the right side of the desk because it's really bad in the left side and underneath and in the drawers. And you can, again, get as granular as you want. The P system is about options. You need choices and permission to find the way that works for you so that you don't get stuck in a single modality. That's why I make these things, these options available to you. Try them on. See what works for you and keep what works. I will be putting links inside the download area to these different tools so that you can research them more and learn more about them and decide which one works best for you. I'm going to keep saying this throughout the program. Excuse me. So I'm going to keep saying this throughout the program. You have permission to adapt the framework to fit your needs. Other people are going to try and foist their priorities on you. It happens every day. Sometimes it's because they're being manipulative, but not often. Usually it's because they simply just don't know that there's an alternative. Now, why? Maybe it's because you've become their default go-to person for everything, right? And parents face this situation more regularly than anyone else. Mommy, mom, mommy, mom, mom, mommy, mom, 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 mommy, mom, mom, mom. Dad's sitting right there. Why you gotta come to me? Dad is closer. Why? I don't understand. It happens. But if you're creative, still in a day job, you also have demands from your bosses, maybe even your coworkers. Have you ever had to cover for somebody else so that your team didn't look bad or so that you didn't look bad, but they didn't do their job and you had to do it for them? Even if you didn't want to, you stepped in. Let me say this so that you can hear me. All of those demands, every single one of them, is an illusion. Let that sink in for a minute. Every single one of those demands is an illusion. You are choosing to accept those responsibilities. Remember, you always have a choice. You can always say, no, there will be consequences. There will, but you can always say no. You just got to be willing to accept the consequences. But here's the thing. Many times, we assume we know what the consequences are going to be, and we could be entirely wrong. Oh, if I tell my boss, no, he's going to fire me. Maybe. But if you come to him with an alternative way to handle what he's asking for, maybe not. Maybe your way is better. But instead of making that choice to show up and accept the consequences of presenting an alternative option, you assume yet another responsibility from your boss as if it's a duty. Okay. As an employee, you have a duty to your company to respond to the needs of the company. That's your, you know, moral, legal obligation as part of that community. But that doesn't mean you have to do everything that they say. You're not a slave. You're not a drone. You can have ideas. You have to be willing to accept responsibility for those ideas. But you always have a choice. And if you just assume, well, I'm going to get fired if I speak up, then I might as well just take this thing, that's the choice that you have made. And there are consequences that go along with that. And I know this sounds real cut and dry, but it is. Oh, I've got to do the laundry or my kids will have nothing to wear. When I was a kid, my job was to sort the laundry at our house. There were 4 kids, 2 adults. I sorted all the laundry. From the time I was about 7 or 8 until I graduated from high school, that was my job. Saturday mornings, sort the laundry. I hate laundry. I hate it because of that. So I trained my kids to do their own laundry. My youngest has been helping me for a few years now and just started doing his own from end to end. Before that, I delegated it to my husband. You know, does it measure up to my exacting adult standards, my 10-year-old's doing his own laundry? No, but it's clean, it's dry, it's put away without me having to police it much. Sounds good to me. I took that responsibility off my plate. And now he'll know how to do his own laundry when he's an adult. Mom created a responsible adult, at least when it comes to laundry. Go, Mom. You have to learn to decide what your real priorities are. Is perfectly folded laundry more important than teaching my kid to be responsible for himself? No. No, it's not. So these 5 key areas of success become the guideposts that keep you on track. And this step, E, examine your priorities, gives you clarity and momentum around those priorities. So whether you put it all down on paper or document it in some other way, by getting all the things out of your head, getting it all out of your head so that you can see more clearly what you're expecting of yourself, then you can be more reasonable with yourself going forward. You're not going to finish 125 things today. You'll probably cover 20 if it's a busy day. Over time, as you practice this, your to-do list will start to get shorter because you'll have more clarity around what you can really expect to accomplish in a given day. Eventually, you will have right-sized your priorities and right-size your expectations around those priorities, including giving yourself enough white space in your day so that you can accommodate the emergencies that crop up from time to time. How many times have you booked yourself to the hilt and then had some emergency, something happen, and now your whole day is fajangoed and you got to figure out what you're going to not do or how to cram more into less time? It doesn't have to happen that way. And this framework and these tools allow you to tweak and test and experiment until you find the way that works for you so that you're not jam-packed all the time. When you're examining your priorities in the key areas, you want to aim for like 3 tasks that will cover all 5 key areas so that you're double dipping or triple dipping. Hey, I need a fitness goal. I need a family goal. And I want to do something around freedom. I'm going to take the kids to the park and play football with them or run around the track with them or something. I got my fitness in, I got my family time, and I got some freedom because I got out of the house. Again, depending on what your definitions are, that's going to dictate which tasks can you handle. And I'd much rather see you aim to double dip or triple dip than to try and do 5 things, because that's just more stuff on your plate, more stuff on your calendar. Now, it's going to be hard at first because you're going to have so many things. But do the best that you can to sort your choices so that you've got about 3 to 5 tasks that you know that are doable for that day that cover as many of the key areas as possible. Okay, so that's E, examining your priorities, meaning the priorities of the key areas of success. Then we look at the must-dos, everything else. Okay. And there are four types of must-dos. But before I go there, here's another tool, a tool that can help you begin to categorize all the things, all the things. It's called the Eisenhower Matrix, and it's named for President Eisenhower, who famously spoke about this, and he talked about a four-quadrant matrix that he developed for his own personal use. He'd sit down with a piece of paper. Let's see if I can find a pen. That looks dark enough. He would sit down with a piece of paper, and he'd just draw a little quadrant like this, and he'd be like, okay, this is important, and this is not important. This is urgent. This is not urgent. So anything in this quadrant is important and urgent. Important, not urgent. Not important, urgent. Not important, not urgent. Real simple, okay? That's the matrix, the Eisenhower matrix. And so a lot of time management type people have developed and utilized this tool in the multiple decades since it was put together. But this was his sorting tool to help him determine what daily tasks were really a priority for him. If it was urgent and important, it most certainly got done, but that wasn't his number one priority. Why? Because emergencies are urgent and important. But if that's where you keep your focus, that's where you're going to be working most of the time. Things that aren't urgent or important to you need to get off your to-do list, either because you need to delegate it or just get it off your list by not doing it. Things that are urgent but not important can often be delegated. Things that are not urgent but are important, like, oh, making your marketing calendar for next year, that's where you really need to put your focus. That's where you need to put the bulk of your focus for the day. It's not urgent, but it's important. Okay? It's not urgent that you get your marketing calendar done today. Oh my God, I've got to do it today. Or like the world will fall in. No, but it's important. And the longer you procrastinate on it, the closer you're going to get to next year and not have a plan. The problem is that urgent, important emergencies tend to drown out everything else because they're so urgent and so important and they're loud and you've got to deal with them right now because they're like right in your face. Yeah. Well, what if I told you that many, not all, but many emergencies are preventable? Oh, you'd probably tell me I was crazy, but it's true. Many emergencies I've found are a function of neglecting other must-dos, specifically your routine must-dos, the ones that aren't urgent but are important. So by neglecting the routine must-dos of your life and in your work, you end up creating emergencies for yourself. You didn't get that routine maintenance on your car because you didn't have time, and now you've blown a tire and you're going to have even less time because you're sitting by the side of the road waiting for AAA. You didn't send that email announcing your new offering because you forgot and went to sleep after a long, hard day, and now you've got a bill you can't pay because the money's not in the bank because you didn't send the email to tell people you had something to buy. Ouch. Our brains are designed to help us keep track of what we think is important. And it defaults to thinking that self-preservation is the most important thing. Safety. Which is why people won't speak up when they, you know, need to tell their boss no, even if their way might be better. It's why you go to sleep and forget to do the things that can move your business forward. Sleep was more important in your mind at the time. It happens. Sometimes sleep is more important, but then again, it's a choice and a consequence. So with a basic understanding of Eisenhower's matrix, now let's look at these four types of to-dos, and you can see how they fit, all right? EMDs, emergency must-dos. These are urgent and important because they're emergencies, like a flat tire or a sick kid. Ah, I got to deal with it. Then you have RMDs. These are your routine must-dos. Not typically urgent, but definitely important. Like car maintenance, client meetings, brushing your teeth, the routine and regular activities that keep your life and your business humming along. Want-to-dos. These are sometimes important and urgent. You know, I really, really, really want to do that thing, and it's important for my business, or and it's important for my family, or whatever. But oftentimes, they fall into the not important but urgent category. I really, really want it. So shiny object, I'm going to go put my focus over there, even though it's not really important right now, but I have this sense of urgency. Buy now, buy now, buy now. The window shopping cart's going to close. I want to do that. Sense of urgency. Not necessarily important right now in the scheme of your business, but it's caught your eye. All right. And sometimes we treat them like they're not urgent or important, but they are important in some manner. Vacations, visiting friends, things you want to do that often get put on hold because you got to tend to the EMDs. And if you put your want-to-dos on hold for long enough, you start to feel resentful. You start to feel frustrated. Oh, I can never do the things that I want to do. How many times have you said that? Oh, I just don't have time, blah, 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 blah. And the want-to-dos keep getting pushed away until they become an emergency. Well, if we don't take a family vacation, my husband's going to, we're going to get a divorce because we're so stressed. Okay, now we better plan it. Well, what if we could be a little more proactive, okay? And then the last of the to-dos, your should-dos. And if you've been following along with Eisenhower's Matrix, you probably know these are the unimportant tasks that aren't even urgent, but they're nagging at you. Or more to the point, someone else is nagging at you to get them done. You know what you should do? Or if I were you, I would blah, 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 blah. These are well-meaning thoughts, ideas, tasks, suggestions that you're just not committed to. And you haven't had the courage to either do something about them or just cut them from your to-do list and accept the consequences of cutting them. Again, I know that sounds harsh, but that's the reality. If you keep letting all these shoulds pile up or you start putting your attention on the shoulds when they're not moving anything else in your life forward, they're draining your energy. They're draining your focus. You know, when my mother-in-law told me that I should do something as it related to taking care of my kids, I received her comment and I said, thank you for your input. I appreciate that. I'm so grateful that you care so much about what we're doing here. And I made a conscious decision. I'm not going to follow that advice. Instead of leaving it sit there to make me feel guilty and, you know, oh, I'm a bad mom because I don't do that. I made a decision about what was important for my family and how I wanted to show up in the world as a parent and what I was going to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to receive her information. I'm going to consider it. Doesn't apply. Or it may apply, but I've chosen something else. It's gone now. I don't have to be mean to her about it. I don't have to be cold or callous or tell her, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Or don't tell me how to run my life or take care of my kids. I can say, it looks like you really care about this and I appreciate that. I will take that information into consideration. And I considered it and I decided I don't need it. Done deal. And I'm willing to accept the consequences for cutting that should do out of my life because it frees up my energy. I'm not sitting there going, oh my gosh, what is my mother-in-law thinking of me? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Doesn't matter. I made my decision. Cut them from your to-do list. Accept the consequences for cutting them. And if you've been an enabler, you may have some cleaning up of stuff to do. It happens. Okay. I'm not saying that starting a new system is going to be easy. You have to train yourself. You have to retrain the people around you. I, at one point, had to push my husband out of the bedroom every morning and lock the bedroom door to get him to get out, to give me the quiet time, peace, and space that I needed because there was no other place in the house for me to have quiet peace time. I didn't have an office with a door. I didn't have a space of my own at the time. I'm like, you got to get out of the bedroom because this is my space right now. It's middle of winter. I can't even go out in the yard. Like, go, be gone. And so he'd grab his clothes and go take a shower. And I'd lock the bedroom door and that'd give me 30 minutes to not have to have people bugging me. All right. So step three is where we assess all the must-dos. Of all the tasks on your to-do list, which ones are really must-dos? Now we're not deciding yet which ones are going to get done. We're just getting clarity on what kinds of tasks they are. Which are emergency must-dos, okay? If you're spending your day putting out a lot of fires, that tells you something. Now, there's one more piece about must-dos, and I mentioned this in our first lesson, IPA, which stands for Important Personal Activities and Income-Producing Activities. One is for your personal life, the other for your business, but it's the same concept. Look at your to-dos. Look at all the stuff you've dumped out. Look at the priorities you've started to create for yourself. If it's IPA, The definition of IPA, whether it's for your personal life or for your business, is that it is a must do that must be done by you in order to receive the benefit. The example I give is like brushing your teeth. No one else can brush your teeth in order for you to receive the benefit of clean, healthy teeth. Sally can't brush her teeth so that you have clean teeth. Sally could actually brush your teeth, but that would probably be weird for most of us, okay? Because it's taking the same amount of time. You might as well just brush them yourself, okay? You can't delegate that stuff. It has to be done by you in order for you to receive the benefit of the result, okay? If it's not IPA, it may still need to be done, okay? And if you're a team of one right now, it may still need to be done by you for now. But the goal is to eventually delegate the non-IPA to someone else so that you can focus on your zone of genius. Laundry is not my zone of genius. At one time, I did have to do it myself. Then I got married and I delegated that to my husband. I will do dishes if you will do laundry. Okay, deal. And then as the kids got older, we re-delegated to them. Now that I'm going to be single again, I'm doing my own laundry for now. And as soon as I'm settled into my new place, I am going to find a way to delegate that again. Because laundry is not my zone of genius. I hate laundry. So I will take it to the cleaners, like something, so I don't have to do it, okay? It's not something that must be done by me in order for me to receive the benefit. Somebody else can wash my clothes and I can still have clean clothes to wear. See that? So your IPA will evolve as you evolve, just like it did for me. I did it myself, then I didn't, and now I'm doing it again, but soon I won't, okay? So IPA will evolve as you evolve. But the idea here is that it must be done. It's not one of those, well, it can wait. And it must be done by you in order to feel the benefit. Okay, so we're talking about important things, important urgent things that must be done by you so that you can derive the benefit from it. Carpooling your kid might not be an IPA unless in the carpooling there's some one-on-one time with your kid that's helping build that family bond or something like that, okay? So that's it. You're going to get all the to-dos out of your head. You're going to start sorting them out. Begin with your five key areas so that you've got those priorities considered first. What's most important in each? What one thing can you do in each of these areas? Look for places where you can double or triple dip. Get them on your to-do list. Then look at everything else and start to figure out where do they fall. Once you've shaken out what your priorities look like for the day, then you can get clear on what will really get done. And we'll talk about that in our next lesson. So now we're going to take questions. If you have questions, we have this handy dandy little chat here that you can access at the bottom of the screen. If you've got a question, go ahead and pop it into the chat. While I wait for questions, I'm just going to remind you that our next and our final lesson is tomorrow. And then following that lesson, we're going to have our first practice session. Now, these lessons have not run a full 60 minutes. So tomorrow we'll take a break and come back at 1 p.m. Eastern to do the practice session if we run short like we have been the last couple of times. The good news is, because we scheduled more time, look at all that white space you've got. Yay for white space. Go practice. Sit down with a notepad and start doing the brain dump. Do a mind map. Later today, you can check the download area. And then you could explore some of those other things and you know, play around with mind maps, play around with brain dumping and see how that works for you. All right, it looks like Elena has a question. She says, I think it would be helpful to get more help with the difference between duty and responsibility. Okay, so duty and responsibility. It's a really fine line. And I say that because it is very easy for us to take on a responsibility and feel like it's a duty. All right. And so here's the definition that I use. And this is inside lesson one, so you can see this as well. A duty is a legal or moral obligation as it relates to the community that you're in. So the community of your neighborhood, the community of your family, the community of your workplace, the community of your business. Okay. Those communities have different rules. So the rules of that community, that's the legal responsibility. And then the moral responsibility is like, what is the right thing to do here? And so the example that he gave in lesson one was about buying an iPhone for your kid and paying the phone bill. That is not a duty. You are not under obligation by law or morality to get your kid a phone. Likewise, in your business, you're not under an obligation to take on every client who wants to give you money. You don't have to keep the clients that are already paying you. You are under no obligation to do that. You don't have a duty to serve every person that walks in the door. But you can choose to do that and assume that responsibility. We're going to take care of everybody. It doesn't matter how much money you're making. We're going to make sure everybody gets served. That becomes a responsibility. Responsibilities are the additional tasks that you pick up, the additional assignments that you assume that become your responsibility to do or to see through to the end of, that hopefully support the duty, but don't always. So for example, the example I like to use is with my kids. I have a duty as a parent in this community, in this world that I live in, to provide adequate food, clothing, shelter, and education for a child until they reach the age of majority, which is 18 in the United States. Once they turn 19, I am not obligated to do anything for them. And there are parents who will put their kids out in the cold. You're 19, here's your stuff, bye-bye, see you later. I've seen it happen. And yet, because my duty is to my kids, I have chosen to take on the responsibility of providing special experiences, taking them on vacations, doing other things because I want to build a relationship with my kids beyond the duty. I could just feed them, buy their clothes at Goodwill, make sure they fit, get them to school every day, keep them warm, and that's all I have to do. That's my duty. Everything else I decide I'm going to do for them is a responsibility that I've chosen to take on. That's the difference between duty and responsibility. You've also got another question here about the shady, not important, but urgent. Not important, but urgent is okay. So let's look at our quadrants here. Right, we've got important, we've got not important. We've got urgent. So over here, it's going to be urgent and important. And it's going to be not urgent, but important. Okay? So this is not important, not urgent. But this is like important. Did I do this right? I'm trying to do stuff upside down. Important, important. Urgent, urgent, not urgent, not urgent. Okay, so not urgent. So in this quadrant, you've got stuff that's important, but it's not urgent. Stuff that's important but not urgent is stuff that doesn't have to be done right this second, okay? But it has to be done, like planning your marketing calendar. Stuff that's not important to you, and that's the important phrase there, it's not important to you, but it's still urgent. Like, we got a customer service call. Well, I don't handle customer service calls. Sally handles customer service calls. It's still urgent, okay? But it's not important to me. It's important to Sally because that's Sally's job, okay? With my kids, their homework is urgent. It's not important to me because it's not my homework. I don't care. I mean, I care if it gets done because I care about them. But in the grand scheme of my life, I'm not doing their homework. So it's not important to me, even though it's urgent to them. And that's what happens with not important but urgent. Not important but urgent is everybody else's stuff coming at you. And you got to decide, am I going to take on that responsibility? Or am I going to go, No thanks. No thanks. That's not my responsibility. I see why it's important to you. I see why it's urgent for you. I see why it needs to be handled for you. When I was in 7th and 8th grade, I had the same teachers for both years in junior high school because we were on a on a team. My science teacher had this poster on her wall that said, "A lack of planning on your part does not constitute a dire emergency on my part." And that's the reality here. Just because someone else is like, oh my gosh, doesn't mean it's important for you. And you have to get clear on that. You can't just assume somebody else's frantic energy because they're frantic. You know, and empaths, particularly chaotic creatives, they can suffer from this a lot. They pick up somebody else's energy and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so important. And when I talk to them, when I'm coaching with them, I'm like, why is this important to you? Well, because she was all up in the air about, okay, but why are you taking on her energy? That belongs to her, not to you. So you have to be clear on whether it's not important, meaning like it just doesn't matter at all to anybody anywhere, or if it's just not important for you. If it's not urgent and it's not important, that's the drop it list. But if it's urgent to them, even though it's not important to me, I may still have to consider what I'm going to do. All right, well, it's not important to me, but I see where it's important to you, so I'm going to delegate that to Sally to handle. Or I'm going to tell Joe to help take care of your problem. Or we're going to find another day in the calendar when we can deal with that, because it's not important to me right now. And I understand that it's urgent, but it's not important to me. So hopefully that makes sense. If not, feel free to pop another question in the box there. Because that's the place where other people's urgencies become our responsibilities if we let them. And again, it's not a duty. I don't have a duty to do my kids' homework. I am under no obligation by law to do their homework for them. But as a parent, I may want to assume more responsibility in helping them finish their homework and give them another example they can use, or provide some extracurricular instruction, or take them to a tutor. Okay? So it's urgent that he figures out the math stuff or whatever he's working on, but it's not important to me in the grand scheme of what I'm working on. And that's the distinction. Because everybody's got a different definition of what's important. It's what's important to you that matters as we're going through this grand scheme. Elena says she thinks she has a clear idea. Cool. Awesome. I'm not seeing any more questions in the chat. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. But if you do have additional questions that pop up later, please email me, info@lisarobinyoung.com. I will answer them personally, or if it relates to something that the rest of the class can use, I will share it in our next session. And if I have to do another Q&A session later, I will do that too, because it's important for me that you understand how to implement and how all the parts and pieces work. Because if you understand the how and the why, then you can take it apart and play with it and find a way to make it work for you. And that's what this framework is all about. Finding something that you can customize to the way you show up in the world so that you're doing what really matters to you and you can stay focused on it. And that's what this system is all about. And that's why I've used it for almost 10 years now. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. And until next time, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Have a great day.